What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Friday, November 8th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And let's get right into it, because there's a lot to talk about today. We got some Saquon audio about the awesome play he made against the Jaguars, a little bit of Bryce Huff encouragement, maybe some reason to feel good about Bryce Huff. We have injury news that is mostly good, I would say, for the Eagles. And then, of course, we're going to talk about the Eagles defensive line against the Cowboys offensive line, maybe the most important matchup in this game, because the only way Cooper Rush is moving that ball is if he has a clean pocket. I don't think he'll have it, but that's the only way. So let's dive right into it. On the schedule today, what to keep an eye out for: Nick Sirianni will speak to the media at 11:40 in the not that you guys need to know. It will be in the auditorium, but you guys don't need to know that. 11:40, Nick Sirianni. We will have, I'm assuming, have that live for you on WIP. And then also, I will have any interesting things he says from it. The third press conference of the week, we'll see what he has to say. But Nick will speak at 11:40. 12:30, practice begins. A chance to see who's out there, who's going to have a chance to play in the game on Sunday amongst the injured players. And then at 1:40, the locker room opens. Maybe we'll hear from some of the more important Eagles. You know, we'll see how Devontae's feeling, AJ, all those things. So that's at 1:40. Now, the injury report. So if you remember yesterday's injury report, man, was it a long one. Had like 15, 16 players on it. A lot of big names. Good news is a lot of those big names are back that were limited yesterday. So a few of these players were limited yesterday, but full participant on Thursday was Saquon Barkley, Mekhi Becton, AJ Brown, Dallas Goedert, Bryce Huff, Jalen Hurts, Cam Jurgens, Darius Slay, Anaya Smith, Josh Sweat, and Jeremiah Trotter Jr. So all those guys are going to play. Wouldn't worry about that. The limited guys are still a little bit interesting. Fred Johnson was limited with a knee injury. Devontae limited with that hamstring injury. Nolan Smith, a groin injury. Ben Van Sumeren with a concussion. Now, my guess is Nolan Smith is going to play. I saw him after practice, seemed in awesome spirits, was running all around. Like, I think he's going to play. Ben Van Sumeren, I also think, is going to play. My guess is he just hasn't fully cleared the protocol yet. Devontae Smith, I think he's going to play. It's a little interesting. He's still listed as limited. He was out there practicing. He was running all around. If I had to bet money, I would bet that he's going to play. And then Fred Johnson with the knee injury. So Fred was out at practice. He was wearing a brace. They had like a little bit of difficulty with it. They were kind of playing around with how they wanted it. It did look like he was going to take first team reps. Obviously, with him being limited, he clearly missed part of practice. My guess is Devontae, Nolan, Ben play, and Fred Johnson I could see potentially being listed as questionable later in the day. But that would be the one that I would keep an eye out for. But the good news is AJ looks like he's going to play. Saquon's going to play. Jalen Hurts, after we talked about yesterday, I still have my antennas up a little bit. I still think there's maybe a little something going on there. If he pops up on the injury report next week with something, I will think that that's what this truly was this week. But it looks like the Eagles should be pretty healthy heading into this game. Quick piece of news. The Eagles did make a practice squad move. Don't normally get into the practice squad, but they brought back an old friend. Teron Jackson is back to the practice squad. They released quarterback Will Greer. My guess is you'll see Will Greer back in the building next week. His locker was still there today, still had all his stuff in it. This feels like a procedural move from Howie Roseman on the practice squad, but it's always good to get into the practice squad moves, and it's good to see our old friend Teron Jackson back, who has had some pretty good training camps with this team. Okay, now that that's out of the way, let's get into what was going on at the NovaCare Complex on Thursday. And of course, Saquon Barkley speaking to the media. And you can only imagine what he talked about. He was, of course, asked about the play everybody's been talking about for a few days, the jump. It's got a new Nike ad with the backwards witness. It's been really cool. And I got to say, just me really quick before we get to what Saquon had to say, watching all the edits online of it are awesome, like the artistic versions. And it's been really, really cool to see all the stuff. I mean, it truly is a play we will probably maybe never see again, or at least to that level of surprising, to that level of shock when a player did it. So Saquon Barkley was asked about it, and here is what he had to say. And this audio is via David Uram, the great David Uram of KYW.
It's cool to see the reactions. That's probably my favorite part, seeing the reactions of my teammates and other people. But at the end of the day, like, happen. It's a play. You move on from it, and you get ready for the next
one. But how many texts did you get about that one?
I got a lot of texts, but some of the most important texts were from, you know, friends and mentors, and that obviously, you know, show love, but at the same time, make sure I'm staying in the right mindset and knowing that it's week by week. Stick with the process. Don't get too focused with the results. And however many weeks ago, yeah, I was memes, people laughing at me for dropping the ball wide open, and now I'm all over it. Oh, that's how it works. So it's like 72-hour rule, let it sit there and get over it, and my mindset and focus on downs.
I can only imagine how much his phone was blowing up after that play. I'm sure he got to his locker after the game and there was a ton of text there. Probably not anything that new for Saquon, who's made a lot of great plays in his career. But yeah, I mean, it's one of the really, really cool plays in Eagles history. I was driving, listening to WIP a few days ago, and I forget who said this, but it is true. Like, if Saquon would have started his career with the Eagles and played behind this offensive line with these weapons and this organization, he's probably a Hall of Famer. And look, he might still get there. Who knows if he's good enough for the Eagles for a few years. But that play is going to go down as an iconic Eagles play. Like, that image of him jumping backwards, it truly is going to be an iconic image that we see in highlights around the NFL, but it'll be up in the NovaCare, right? It'll probably be a picture of it up in the link somewhere. So definitely a play. Like, look, the game was obviously controversial because of the decisions and everything, but what the truly lasting impact from that game will be Saquon Barkley jumping backwards over a defender. So it was cool to hear Saquon talk about it. And yeah, I can only imagine who the most famous person might have been that texted him. My guess would have been LeBron. That's my guess. Both Nike athletes, I could picture LeBron texting them. So that's my prediction. I don't know why I made that noise. Okay, next up, Bryce Huff. I got a chance to talk to Bryce today, which, funny, I wanted to talk to him for a few things. One, about the Cowboys offensive line that we're going to talk about at the end of this pod. But I also wanted to ask him about the trade rumors. Obviously, there was some speculation in the 24 hours leading up to the trade deadline that maybe he could be moved, and he knew nothing about it. Point blank, knew nothing about it. I could normally tell when athletes are just saying, oh no, I didn't know, and you know that they did. He definitely didn't know about it, but he was asked some questions about the pass rush, how it's going, and here's what he had to say.
When you look at the Dallas offensive line, what do you see from their tackles?
They got some solid tackles. We've been locked in, trying to figure out ways to get after them. So.
How's the rest feeling?
It's solid.
Something happened just in warm-ups last week?
It's kind of flared up a little bit.
Did you expect to play more, or did they hold it? Did you know they were going to hold it back?
I mean, it was kind of a game time this season, depending on how it felt, but we just threw it in the cast and just stuck it out for the most part.
How were the snaps when you were able to be out there with the rest?
It was cool. I'm going to go to sack on the first play, but Trevor left the pocket. And then the rest of them were solid.
The defensive line as a whole has really been much better the last month or so, I would say. Why do you think that is?
I mean, I think we're just locked in, dialed in on what we got to do. Keyed in on the ball for our get-offs and working together with the interior well. So I think that's all just playing a part.
How about you? How do you feel your play is?
It's been straight.
So your name did come up in trade rumors. I don't know if you heard or not. I was just curious, like, is that something the team, when that comes out, reaches out to you? Did you hear about it?
No, I never heard about any trade rumors.
Okay.
Were you surprised that no moves were made?
I had no opinion on the trade stuff.
So me and James talked about this earlier on the latest Go Birds pod, which you should go check out in your feed. But the pass rush has been better over the past few weeks, and I wonder how much that factored into Howie not making a trade at the deadline. But outside of just the pass rush being better, Bryce Huff has been better as well. And I think it's time to give Bryce Huff a little bit of credit. Look, he is not somebody that is playing at the level the Eagles hoped, and I'm sure it's not the level he hoped. And you could definitely say he has not played well so far overall this season. But if you look at the last 4 weeks compared to the first 4 weeks, there has been a noticeable uptick in pressure. So the first 4 weeks of the season, he had 3 hurries total. No sacks, 3 hurries. The last 8 weeks, he has 8 hurries over the past 4 games. And one of those games, keep in mind, against the Jaguars, he didn't really play. He had, and I think if you look at his snaps and like how much he's playing, he played 71 pass rush snaps the first 4 weeks. They're putting him out on the field quite a bit. Over the past 4 weeks, he's played 61 snaps. And again, keep in mind, that one of those games he barely played because of his wrist. So he's still getting as many, roughly, pass rush snaps as he was the first 4 weeks. He is just being far more productive with them. I mean, he's almost three times as many hurries in the last four games as he does in the first four games. Where he has seen a cut in his snaps is on running downs. The first 4 weeks, he played 37 snaps against the run. The last 4 weeks, it's only 23 snaps. So again, that number is impacted by the wrist injury that cost him snaps against the Jaguars. But overall, look, Bryce is not where the Eagles hoped he would be. He is not the like premier edge rusher that Haason Reddick was, but he is definitely playing better as the season has gone on. He, you know, he said in that clip there, felt he was close to a sack last week, which is funny, considering he was dealing with the wrist injury. But yeah, look, my experience from being around Bryce, he's a good guy. I know he's trying hard. I don't think it's an effort thing with Bryce. I think it's just a communication thing where they probably weren't using him right early on. They've since started to use him more, I think, how he was used in New York. And because of that, I think you're seeing the production start to go up. So yeah, we'll see what Bryce can get done this week against an average, I would say, Cowboys offensive line. Okay, next up, there's been a lot of talk this week about Offensive Player of the Year and then really also Defensive Player of the Year because it's basically the halfway point of the season. And as a result, there's been a lot of predictions, who's going to win what, who's in the running for what, those type of things. So Bill Barnwell of ESPN put out an article where he talked about who he thought was going to win various awards. So Jalen wasn't an MVP consideration, although what's funny is he was in a picture the NFL put up on their website where they said, like, who's going to win MVP? And Jalen was in that, which I thought was kind of interesting. But two players that were in the running for player awards, according to Bill Barnwell, and it shouldn't surprise anybody, but the two players that are in the running for that, Quinyon Mitchell for Rookie Defensive Player of the Year and Saquon Barkley for Offensive Player of the Year. So let's go over what he had to say and if I think they'll be able to win these awards. So Bill Barnwell had Quinyon Mitchell currently in second place for Rookie Defensive Player of the Year. And here's what Bill Barnwell partially wrote about Quinyon. Mitchell has been a steady presence on the outside all season. Playing as the starting right cornerback, he has been peppered with targets that haven't amounted to much. Opposing quarterbacks have posted a 51.4 QBR throwing to the left side of the field, the right side of the defense, against Eagles this season, the third lowest mark of any team. Passers have otherwise posted the ninth best QBR throwing over the middle and toward the right side of the field. So, as you can tell from those numbers, Quinyon has been a huge part of this defense being good. He is definitely, as we've seen week over week, been a really good player. Look, hands up, I didn't think he was the right pick when they took him. I would have taken one of the cornerbacks out of Alabama. I really like Terrion Arnold. I really like Kool-Aid McKinstry. I really like Nate Wiggins. And, you know, like Kool-Aid's been pretty good this year. Terrion is playing for a good defense, or at least, you know, is on a good team. But Quinyon's been the best corner in the NFL among the rookies, without question. And I was wrong about Quinyon. He is way better than I thought he was going to be, especially early on. So the only issue I think Quinyon is going to have winning Rookie Defensive Player of the Year is Jared Verse, the edge rusher with the Rams, is number one. And he's been outstanding this year. He has a ton of hurries. He's getting to the quarterback. And I just think an edge rusher is easier to give it to than a corner. It's just easier to build the argument as to why an edge rusher statistically is really good. And it's just a more premier position. But Quinyon has definitely been awesome, and I think he should definitely be in the running for the award. And, you know, there's still a lot of time left, but if Quinyon keeps playing this way, the Eagles keep winning, and the Rams are only, you know, a 500-ish team, I think you're going to see Quinyon start to get more and more buzz as the rookie, the defensive rookie of the year. Okay, Saquon Barkley obviously is in the running for offensive player of the year, clearly has been outstanding this year. And Bill Barnwell had him behind Derrick Henry of the Baltimore Ravens. So why did he put Barkley behind Derrick Henry? Here's what Bill Barnwell wrote. He wrote, "The biggest reason Barkley isn't number one, negative plays. When he has made mistakes, they've been conspicuous and painful. In week two, he failed to bring in a third down catch that would have iced the game, allowing the Falcons to drive down the field and score. In week five against the Browns, he failed to pick up a first down on a second and one completion before halftime, then allowed a sack on third and one that forced the Eagles into a long field goal attempt that was then returned for a touchdown. Last week, he let the Jags back into the game when he fumbled, allowing Jacksonville to scoop and score. Later, he slid down on a second and 13 run that then got stuffed on a third and four, which led to another missed field goal and an opportunity for the Jaguars to drive for what could have been a game-winning score. So first, the fumble against Jacksonville shouldn't have counted. Like, he was down. And this is the impact of, like, a bad play call. Or, sorry, of a bad call by the refs. Nick Sirianni gets ripped all week because, you know, that game got back into being a game because of that bad call. Saquon Barkley has it brought up in this offensive player of the year analysis by Bill Barnwell when it really shouldn't even have counted. It should have just been a play that was ruled dead. Now, Saquon versus Derrick Henry for offensive player of the year. I think it's a very, very close battle. Like, I think Derrick Henry has an argument for it. I just think Saquon, as important as Derrick Henry has been, and he obviously has been really important, I think this is going to be another example of an Eagle player getting dinged because of the talent on the roster. I mean, Derrick Henry has talent. Like, he has Lamar Jackson, obviously. But the receivers in Baltimore aren't what the receivers in Philadelphia are. So I think people are going to look and go, the Ravens need Derrick Henry more than the Eagles need Saquon Barkley. And that there's maybe some truth to that, but Saquon's been incredibly important to the Eagles this year. They've gone to a run-first team partially because of how good Saquon has been. So we'll see how the stats add up by the end of the year. I think Saquon's going to end up putting monster stats up the rest of the season. So is Derrick Henry, but their recommitment to the running game with Saquon's talent, he could really, really end up with some amazing numbers, potentially historic numbers, especially with the Eagles franchise for the rest of the season. So I think that there's a better chance Saquon passes Derrick Henry for offensive player of the year than there is Quinyon is able to pass Jared Verse. Not that Quinyon hasn't been awesome or wouldn't deserve it. I just think Saquon already has the name. He already has the buzz. He's going to get a lot of touchdowns. I think there's a good chance if the Eagles keep winning, you'll see Saquon pass Derrick Henry for that that award. So on the other side, we are going to talk about a big matchup in this game. Really the only kind of slightly worrisome part of the Cowboys offense, or at least the thing that could turn this into a game. And that is the Cowboys offensive line versus the Eagles defensive line. But first, a word from our sponsors. So on yesterday's pod, we looked at the Cowboys quarterback, which is going to be Cooper Rush. Which is funny enough, Jalen Carter didn't even know Cooper Rush was going to be playing. He's been focusing so much on the Cowboys offensive line. He seemed to be serious, like that he didn't know it was going to be Cooper Rush, which just tells you how locked in these players are on the actual matchup that they're going up against, like the other player, as opposed to the big picture stuff. But it is going to be Cooper Rush and those bad Cowboys skill players. Yes, they have CeeDee Lamb, but outside of that, they don't have much. Up against Eagles defense. So how could the Cowboys move the ball? One way they can move the ball is if Cooper Rush has time in the pocket. So we just talked about how Bryce Huff has been playing better. Nolan Smith has improved. Josh Sweat has good numbers. The Eagles defensive line has improved. But I would say the most somewhat worrisome part of the matchup is the Cowboys do have like a decent offensive line. It's not great. It's not like the best offensive line they've gone up against, but they do have some pretty good players on the line, or at least intriguing players. And if they're not able to go out and get pressure on Cooper Rush, then him just standing in the pocket, you would think you maybe have a better chance of picking this Eagles secondary apart. But I think they will be able to. So let's go over who is starting for the Cowboys on their offensive line. The left tackle, Tyler Guyton. We talked about him leading up to the draft. 4 hits, 4 sacks allowed, 11 hurries. He's bad. He's not played well this year, but he is a rookie. He's a good athlete. He's huge. He's 60th right now among tackles, according to Pro Football Focus. So I will say the tackles are not great on this team. It's more the interior of the line. And again, this is a line the Eagles defensive line should be able to get pressure on, but it's more the interior than the outside. Left guard, Tyler Smith, 1 sack, 2 hits, 10 hurries. He's 22nd among guards, according to Pro Football Focus. Good player. This is a potential matchup problem for those defensive tackles of the Eagles. Cooper, man, I'm going to mispronounce this. I hate when I know I'm going to mispronounce it. Cooper Beebe, 2 sacks, 4 hits, 6 hurries. He's a rookie. He was a 3rd-round pick. He's not been great so far. He's 29th against, he's 29th among centers, according to Pro Football Focus. Right guard, Zach Martin, been a good player for a really long time. 3 sacks, 1 hit, 15 hurries. Still pretty good. He's not as good as he used to be because he's older now. Still a pretty good player. And then right tackle, Terrence Steele, 6 sacks, 4 hits, 15 hurries, 69th. He's the weak link of the line. That is where the Eagles can go out and get some pressure. So as I look at this line, here's what I see. And like I said, as I started, the Cowboys, the offensive line is the key to this, because if the Eagles' defensive line can get to Cooper Rush, they could legitimately shut the Cowboys out. Like, that is the only chance they have, is if Cooper Rush has a clean pocket to work with, he can sit back there and pick him apart, then I think maybe you could see them start to move the ball. But if the Eagles can get pressure on this line, I think they're going to have a really, really good day, because you're also then forcing Cooper Rush. I hope I haven't been saying Cooper Kupp. Then you're also forcing Cooper Rush to go out and make bad decisions. And he has shown before that he will put the ball in harm's way. He has quite a bit of, I think he has 4 turnovers or 4 interceptions in his 6 starts. So he will make bad decisions. And one way to make a quarterback make bad decisions is to get after him, make him make quick decisions they don't want to because of pressure, get them on the run, make them uncomfortable, and he will throw the ball up. So against this offensive line, it's up to the Eagles to put together another game. They've had, I would say, 3 really good games coming out of the bye, not as great against the Jaguars. They're good against the Jaguars, but not as great. I think this is a chance to bounce back against the Cowboys offensive line. I called them average earlier. I probably shouldn't have said that. They're below average to bad. They're a fine offensive line, but like, it's a line that they should be able to take advantage of and be able to get some pressure against Cooper Rush for. So that'll do it for today's Go Birds Daily. As always, love you guys. Appreciate you listening. Love you starting the day with Go Birds. And we will be back later in the week. We'll have the Parks Picks Pod in your feed today. We've been red hot. We got the parlay ready. And then we'll have Go Birds Radio for you on Saturday from 1 to 3 at Bet Parks Casino in Bensalem. So thank you guys so much for listening. And as we always say, he's Ellie Dumb James. I'll talk to you later.